Episode 6. And Chance is back.
Yeah.
My threat worked.
Yeah, it's good.
We had a guest on last week. Scared Chance, and he came running back.
Yeah, I don't know about running, but I am back.
Crawling?
Yeah, I don't know if it was... I'm more like a saunter.
How you doing, Chance? You had a rough holiday.
I'm a little tired today, but I'm good.
Alright.
My holiday was okay.
Yeah. I got a book by Tucker Max, so I think I win the worst present war.
Who's Tucker Max?
He's the guy who wrote I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell.
He sounds like an asshole.
He's
Bro Maddox.
Yeah, he got famous for posting pictures of his ex-girlfriend's poop on the internet.
Tucker Max sounds like the name of an asshole.
Well, it's not his real name, obviously. Yeah.
But, I mean, if you pick a name like that...
Yeah.
His whole website...
His brand was asshole.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Yeah, his whole thing was like he was like a frat bro-y type of dude, but not actually in a frat, which is a total subset by itself. But, like, he would just post stories, I'm sure, that were exaggerated of him getting drunk and, like... girls getting angry at him or him doing stupid shit or whatever.
Sounds great.
But then he made a book, which was then a movie.
Yeah, and then he made another book, which is the one I got.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember what it was called. Like, Everyone's an Asshole or something like that.
I got a book. I got the...
Yeah?
One of Tim Ferriss's books, yeah.
Okay.
Poor Chef. Actually, I like it.
I got a new microphone, too. That's why we sound better right
it's
now.
Sweet.
I hope.
Yeah. Well, we know.
We know we do, but...
Yeah. Hopefully. If I got this
they
sound...
Might.
Crap, right?
They might not notice.
No, man, it'll
I
be totally fine.
I hope they notice.
Do you let us know if you notice. Like the Facebook page if you notice.
Or if you haven't yet, if you're one of the three people listening who hasn't yet.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
I got a set of tools.
All right.
For Christmas.
That makes sense. You have a house now.
I have a house now, yeah. So very...
You need tools.
Excited about that. Weirdly, the tool set was closed with a plastic sheet that was screwed... into the plastic backing. So you needed a screwdriver to open the set of tools.
You know what it,
that contained screwdrivers.
You know what it was there for? Let you know how much you need those tools.
I think that's probably it. I had to crack open a side and wheedle a very small screwdriver out of the small opening I was able to make to get the rest out.
That might have been a test.
I feel like I passed.
It's like if you ship crowbars in a crate that you needed a crowbar to open.
Yeah. You just assume that you're ordering this to replace your old crowbar, but it's still got one good use left in it.
One for the road.
So I have a surprise for Adam.
A gift.
Oh, my dear.
Chance already knows what it is.
Oh, it's so good.
Goodness.
So it's actually a follow-up on one of our segments in episode 4.
Episode
you may
four.
Recall that we discussed.
You mentioned this
segment
the other day. Okay.
You may remember that we discussed Parks, our casino.
We did.
And one lady was terrified.
There's a...
Of the mechanical.
She saw a mechanical.
Yes.
So, I have something for you.
Oh, sweet.
It's a story. I was at Parks last Halloween, and I seen a camel.
Oh my god!
Yep.
It's the greatest picture ever.
In the flesh.
Where did you find this?
I googled Parks Halloween camel, and it was right there.
It's amazing what Google can do.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
We should have thought of that at first.
That's astounding.
I love his little head peeking out.
Yeah.
I'll post a picture of it on the Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Appears to be made of wicker. Wow.
Yeah.
See, the crazy thing is, like, this is...
What is his girlfriend supposed to be?
She's like a Air Force pilot.
I think maybe that's...
Or something.
Maybe she's just posing with him or something.
I don't know.
Maybe.
He won $5,000 for it, though.
Hey.
Oh, what?
Good
yeah.
for him.
Yeah, Parks Halloween contest. That's, like
grand.
I said on the last episode, that they were probably so elaborate because
there's a prize.
There's money on the line.
Way to
yeah.
go, Mark D.
Yeah, Mark D.
Not as mechanical as I was hoping.
No, I assume the mouth moves or something.
Yeah, the very. I guess I was thinking of like Strider.
If you were legitimately
right.
shit
like the metal
hammered.
Birds and stuff.
Yeah, well, like the gorilla, the robot gorilla. I thought that there'd be exposed,
the
mechanized portions.
I mean,
yeah.
he didn't call it mechanical.
He did.
He didn't call his costume
he
mechanical.
Didn't.
He was just going
if
as
If you
mechanical.
Saw that, though, like, if it was somewhat obstructed in the middle of the casino, it looks... And you're drunk, it...
I mean...
You swear to God there was a camel.
I think that's as much like a camel as a person can look.
I mean,
yeah.
And
he does have a hollowed-out hump where
yeah.
his head is.
You could definitely hide a bazooka in there.
Yeah.
It's definitely big enough.
Her concern was not completely unfounded.
Looks like she's hiding some
I mean, I guess
bazookas.
Not.
Hey-o.
Like it's some, like, Ocean's 13 type
Is
thing.
Is that the first time
right.
we've objectified a woman?
No. don't know. I assume not. I didn't hear what you said.
I'm pretty sure. I said she's hiding bazookas in the photo, and I said, hey, yo.
Sounds like she has to poop.
That's gross.
Hiding bazookas is not a way that I have ever thought to refer to needing to poop, but I like it.
All right.
I'm probably going to use it.
Hiding bazooka.
That implies that you've got, like, a powerful...
Yeah, well, it's like a threat on the line.
Propulsions
and like, this could go badly for you if you don't get out of my way.
I think this is the first time we've gone deep into a poop joke.
No, it isn't.
And pulled it out.
It can't
deep
be.
Into a poop joke and pulled it out.
Pulled it out. We'll pull it out of the tailspin. We haven't gone too far.
Turn it out.
We'll be right back.
Turn it all out.
Pretty good.
Yeah. That's a good gun.
Yeah.
A good gun? Is that what I said? That's a good gun? Damn. That's
cool. Why do we all get really quiet?
Are we recording?
I think we're
started recording.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to hit it by surprise from now on.
That's fine.
Did it get sans testicles?
It did get sans testicles.
Good.
Oh, my God.
And
so.
If it didn't, it definitely did.
Cool. Segment one.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You have to do it.
No, I don't.
Oh, it's segment one.
You shouldn't cover your mouth when you talk, though.
They call my face.
Into a
podcast. Oh, this is going
to turn. So! just a tip.
Okay, I want to throw this one at you, guys.
Alright.
The other day, I watched two movies. I watched The Interview, which was cool, and I want to talk about it after you guys have seen it.
Alright.
And after it's not cool to anymore.
Okay.
And the other one was The Purge Anarchy, which is fairly old. It's been out on Blu-ray for a while now.
Sequel to The Purge.
The Purge Anarchy is, I don't know if you guys, if you're not familiar with the Purge concept, the whole idea is they're in this weird futuristic place where one night a year for 12 hours, all crime is legal except a very small amount, which is like killing the president and, you know, nuking places. But, that somehow, makes it so that everyone has jobs and there's no crime or anything like that. Which is totally logical.
Yeah, well, it's statistically proven that once you commit a crime and get it out of your system, you don't ever do it again.
You won't ever do it again.
Yeah.
Which is why the prison system works so well.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Also, crimes only target people that deserve it.
That's true. So or dress that way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's only people who are asking for it.
Right.
Yeah. Victim blaming.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. If there's anything
the first
to stand
one.
Behind, it's definitely victim blaming.
Yeah. Well, it is the easiest way to get from, oh, this is an upsetting circumstance, to... I don't have to care or worry about this.
That's true.
So.
Marginalizing. But yeah. The whole concept behind The Purge Anarchy pretty much was that it takes you into a look at, like, the whole city or, like, the whole country and how they deal with the Purge at some point in time.
Because the first movie focused on a single house.
It was on, like, one house. I didn't even see the first one. I just saw the second one. You don't need to see the first one. You need to have heard of the first one.
It's a sequel conceptually.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, it's within the same universe.
Okay.
As far as
not to any tangible character.
I don't
believe
so.
Or anything. Okay.
People who watched it with me saw the first Purge, and they're like, "Oh, that guy was in that first one, right?" No,
I guess
it wasn't that.
All right, so it doesn't really matter. All right.
But pretty much everything goes to hell in a handbasket. You have like until like 8 p.m. or something to get home on like the day of the Purge.
Okay.
And then they shut down like all emergency services and everything. Whatever, no big deal. People get to do whatever the hell they want. So logically, the thing that everyone does the most is murder, which I don't think would be the highest on the list, honestly.
It depends where you are.
I think theft and sexual crime are one and two. I don't think murder is that high unless you need to murder someone to either steal shit.
So,
or because you want to steal shit from them, or you're going to do terrible
things. I mean, I've seen it. I saw The Purge Anarchy. I haven't seen the first one. And they were like, it was doing that thing that like Xbox games like to do, where it acts like it's a satire, but it's really not.
No, it has satirical elements. Yeah. Satirical.
It has
satirical elements, but it's not like a grand comment on it. It tries to play up like high class versus low class in the movie. And spoiler, the government wants poor people or rich people, and the government wants poor people to die, so there's more poor people.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea, is like, oh, well, unemployment and yada, 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 yada.
Yeah, sure.
Prosperity will happen because you kill off the poor people.
Right, okay.
but the way they go about it in the movie is they kind of want to be like tongue in cheeky and this and that, but they're just kind of really on the nose with the whole thing.
So I think it takes probably a very deft hand to take a extravagantly violent concept and then turn it towards like a I don't know, intellectual.
Well, like Grand Theft Auto, I think, does it fairly well.
I don't like, think like I don't
four,
agree.
Like four, like Grand Theft Auto 4 and 5, they're not satirical pieces. I don't think they're like parodies or anything, but
no.
But they definitely have a tongue-in-cheek sense of humor about them that I don't think this film had at all. I think this film at times was murder porn.
See, my thing about the Grand Theft Auto game is that I always felt like they tried to play their material pretty straight. I mean, there were no Saints Row.
No.
Certainly. Maybe in 5 more so than 4. Because in 5 there's like a, spoiler alert again, there's like a Steve Jobs wannabe that like they make fun of and all this stuff and... They make fun of like yoga instructors and weird stuff. Like,
it's well, a yeah, but like, I, but like, I mean, but I think like their core, like
gameplay aesthetic.
They're not parodying the idea of committing violent crime in a virtual setting.
Okay,
they're dead serious about that, and I think I could be wrong, but I think their audience is pretty much, for the most part, completely on board with it. I don't think anybody goes to Grand Theft Auto looking for a sharp satire on. I think you go to it so you can hit people with cars.
I think this also has to do with how me and my dad always played Grand Theft Auto, which was like, spawn all the weapons, get the 5 stars as soon as you can, and try not to die.
Right.
Like, we played it like a...
Like Robotron.
Like you're a supervillain. That's how we played Grand Theft Auto. So yeah. I think that might screw me up for the rest of it.
I mean, I'm not a big Grand Theft Auto player. I can only... voice on like what
I've
heard
played the last
other
two.
People's experiences and talking to kids and students about their experience with it. It seems like most of the time they're in it for the experience of doing Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. You know, you're there for the visceral.
Reminds me of the.
I wonder if that's changing though, because that was the appeal when it first came out when we were in high school.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, you can. It's this game where you can, you know,
the
hit
famous
a prostitute with a car,
kick a hooker in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And like that was a novelty. When that was a thing, but like it's not anymore.
And then there's Saints Row, I think, is probably a better.
Not to us,
maybe not.
But there's always an audience of like 12 to 16 year olds who are gonna look at that and be like, "That's not." It's friends. Like how they don't ever. People are always like, "Oh, how is the Power Rangers still popular?" And it's like, well, it's because there's always a new generation of kids who are between like 6 and I don't know 10 who haven't seen all these other ones and. They're going to grow out of it just like you did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think that that Rockstar's changed their approach.
Well, it's not like everyone our age has stopped playing Grand Theft Auto.
No. But I mean,
people.
But I don't think
talking about the
that kids. Novelty isn't there for them necessarily anymore. But I mean, that there's always going to be this audience that sees it at face value.
Right.
Because they don't know that there's 100 other Grand Theft Auto games that came before it. You know, they're getting on board with whatever the new... You know, whatever the new thing is.
That makes sense.
I think.
I might compartmentalize
it. It's like
when
kids who had never played Zelda played Ocarina of Time.
Right, exactly.
Blew their minds.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it blew, you know, it was the first 3D one, so that helped.
Yeah, I mean, I had played Link to the Past, and I still thought it was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think Grand Theft Auto and The Purge are kind of coming from, because they're from different times.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto came around in this, like, kind of, like, became what it is now. In like 2002, 2003, when the third one. Yeah. Which was this weird. It was this weird, like, violence obsessed post 9/11 world.
Yeah.
Where, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just sort of anarchic and no one cared about anything.
It was like an outlet.
Yeah. Whereas The Purge, I think, it reminds me of movies from the 70s when because it's a lot about class warfare.
Yeah.
And there were a ton of just, like, gritty, dour...
Charles Bronson.
Yeah, like Death Wish.
And Death Race 2000 or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think they're from, like, sort of different eras.
I feel like if Robert Rodriguez made The Purge, it would be awesome.
It would be great, because I feel like anyone who doesn't take it seriously and sort of acknowledges from the get-go that it's a ridiculous...
If you made The Purge in the style of, like, From Dusk Till Dawn...
Yeah.
Like, at the end, like, during the twist or whatever, it would have been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, in defense of The Purge Anarchy, there wasn't anything in that movie that really spoke to me as, like, murder porn, because it's not like anyone who died, you were like, yeah, get him. Yeah. Like, there was no, like, big bad guy who gets shot in the head and then you cheer for the Purge.
Right.
Like, it never portrays the Purge as a good thing. It was basically just a mindless action movie of people, like, peeking around corners being scared.
All right, so I guess this is my question about it, and this is even going back to, like, movies like Death Wish and Death Race or this kind of filmmaking that you're talking about. Robert Rodriguez's thing is kind of that he takes these sort of overblown, pulpy, violent concepts and then plays them essentially for laughs and for cool points.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, I like Robert Rodriguez for the most part.
Makes them like spectacles.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I like Robert Rodriguez movies. You know, I've enjoyed them before.
Spy Kids especially.
But I don't know, I can't really help but think, what's really the end result of that kind of filmmaking?
Right.
Like, we can sit there and be like, oh, it's an enjoyable spectacle, but then, popcorn. Like, objectively, like, what really is the...
Oh, it's popcorn filmmaking. It's just, oh, I saw that, and now it's done.
Well, it's kind of beyond just popcorn filmmaking, though, because it's going out of its way to choose subject matter that's explicitly shocking and gruesome and violent, and then playing it for laughs, kind of.
Yeah.
Artistically, you know, what's the...
Well, I try not to look at art and movies as what they're striving for, as more... I look at them more as what the environment is that they're coming out of.
Okay.
And how they're reflecting that. Because I don't think a movie like anything Robert Rodriguez or Quentin Tarantino, like, they're not trying to deliver a sort of message.
So what are they... I mean, what are they... Because these are movies that are greatly lauded.
Yeah.
And it's like... I don't know, it strikes me as kind of weird because it's like, what are we seeing other than a pastiche of violence and fears and kind of...
Like, why does that appeal to people? Or why do they exist at all?
I mean, I get why... I guess I get why it appeals to people. I understand there's like a lizard part in everybody's brain that likes to see this kind of shit. But it's like...
Some bigger than others.
What? Yeah. What?
And a lizard brain.
Big lizard.
What is it?
Iguana brain.
What is it that stops people from making that extra connection to questioning the... Well, why do I like this so much? And is it weird that I like this so much? Not is it weird, but is it indicative... of, I don't know.
Turning it in on itself.
Because, like, you know, Quentin Tarantino is a celebrated director, but his, you know, movies kind of wallow, or revel even in kind of being, like, culturally worthless.
They're very,
like, what do you take from Kill Bill other than a queasy feeling and...
A lot of people have died.
Yeah, like, what do you... As a filmmaker, as someone engaged in the craft, like, what's the point?
Well, there? A filmmaker who knows a lot about film is going to look at his movies and see all the references and notes he's making and nods to other films and stuff.
That's Tarantino's thing.
Is that good, though? I mean, is that actually...
I mean, I don't, that's a point of contention among people. Okay. Like, a lot of people think he doesn't bring anything new to the table.
Tarantino's thing is he's just a film nerd. He wanted to make a movie of every single type. Like, he wanted to make a Western.
Yeah.
He wanted to make a World War II.
Like, I mean,
Dirty Dozen movie.
I absolutely get that. There's nothing wrong with genre fiction.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know, not to sound disdainful or whatever, but, you know, can you call a spade and stop acting like these movies are good? For anything other than kind of just that visceral experience.
Oh, no. You know what I mean? I'm with you on that.
I always have this feeling that, like, you know, every movie that people see now is either the best or the worst thing. Like, the Lego movie.
Mm-hmm.
So many people our age were telling me it was a great movie. I saw most of it. I liked it. It's funny. You know, it's a funny movie. It's very enjoyable. But as someone who, you know, enjoys animation as a medium and like, cares about its advancement and its moving forward or whatever, you know, the Lego movie's really nothing special.
It's a lateral move at best.
Yeah, exactly. It's not really... It's just there. It's not moving the medium forward. It's not really making any great strides in either direction. It's just solidly planting its foot in familiar territory. And the same thing with Frozen and the same thing with every... you know, big Disney movie that gets heralded as this big, great thing, is that it's just, they're products first, and they're not really, like...
I should keep a running tally of, like, how many episodes in a row we talk about this.
Art versus commercialism.
I'm always thinking about it.
But
are people ever exposed to actual art?
Side, yeah.
Well, no, they have
so
to
do
seek
they
it
even
out.
Know it when they see it?
Well, they have to seek it out, and if they do see it, like, it might not matter, because on some level you have to educate yourself and create awareness. Right. And you're really only going to do that if you're interested in doing it. I mean, I guess in defense of Tarantino, at least the violence he makes is so, like, upfront and shocking that I feel like it's made me more aware of sort of the more casual violence in, like, television and, okay. like, movies like The Avengers and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're
like,
terrible.
There's a lot of implied death in Man of Steel that they just gloss over.
Yeah, I mean, comic movies are...
Yeah, I mean, at least Tarantino will kind of stuff. Show you every...
Yeah, he's up front.
When you blow up four city blocks fighting a monster or whatever,
you've
essentially... You've a giant...
Well, how much... Again, this is me hypothesizing, but how much are action movies like that coming out of a movement towards more casual violence, a more exposure to violence, or more comfortable feeling towards violence? You know what I mean? Like, when you... Not that I think that this whole idea of desensitization is necessarily 100% true, but I do think that, you know, when you commit these things to some form, to some medium, and you expose people to them, you are essentially, you're taking a step that can't be untaken. You're permanently raising the stakes,
right.
if that makes sense. Because, you know, we're talking about superhero movies that are terrible about violence, but, you know, those movies that we mentioned just now are all definitely not... were not contemporary to Tarantino's biggest movies. They're definitely coming out of the cinematic environment that Tarantino's movies helped create.
Right.
So
it's tough to tell. I mean, it has to do with how the culture takes away from
I mean,
what they
it
see.
Depends on how you see movies too. I think you see them like I see them like sort of like you would look at a novel. Like it's a worldview that's being presented to
you. Yeah, it's an expression of some idea or some set of values.
A lot of the times it's something someone takes and chews up, spits out.
I think a general theater-going audience looks at them more like roller coasters.
Yeah,
like, you're not going to appreciate the art of a roller coaster unless you're really into roller coasters.
Well,
you're just going to enjoy the ride while it lasts, and then you're going to go home and do whatever you want.
But a roller coaster doesn't have, like, an underlying ideology or agenda. Like, a roller coaster's point is to make you go woo.
Or to terrify the shit out of you if you're...
But I think when they make a superhero movie, all they want to do is make you go woo.
You see, I wonder about that, actually. I actually wonder about that because... I don't think you need to be aware of the kind of underlying message of a film to pick up on it. In fact, I actually think you're probably more likely to pick up on it kind of subconsciously if you're not looking for it. Because if you're not looking for it, you take the movie at face value, and whatever it says or does, you just kind of go along with it. Whereas when you go in critically, you're going in with the expectation of accepting or rejecting an argument.
Right.
You know? So you go in there guarded against whatever this movie's message or meaning is going to be. And I honestly, I'm not really sure that I believe that there are any artistic anythings that don't have some underlying point or some underlying message, regardless of how dumb they are. I don't think anybody's, like, disconnected enough from their own thoughts and feelings to not... Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think Frank Miller... would claim that he's doing anything with his movies and his comic books other than being, like, a pulpy menace.
Yeah.
But there's definitely ideology there. There's definitely values going on there.
Well,
so,
you can't separate yourself from your own prejudices, even if you try to.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I don't think any of these things, especially when, you know, commercially speaking, companies are savvier than I think they've ever been in terms of audience manipulation and gauging reaction.
Well,
so,
look at the first Purge when it came out. Honestly, people like were blown away by the concept behind the movie, and almost every single person I heard of that saw the movie was like, it was about a house.
Well, you know who fucking loves movies like The Purge is like young people.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
my nephew is he's never even seen the movie, but conceptually he's fascinated by it because. There, I think,
well,
is a fascination.
It's literally the highest concept you can get.
I mean, I don't think I think that we all kind of have a fascination with violence.
Absolutely.
There's a morbid fascination with
it. Yeah, we were once cave people hitting each other on the head with clubs, and we're still not too far from that.
No, not at all. And I don't even think it's always necessarily a fascination with the act of committing violence, but its existence and its execution.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the train wreck situation, you know? Like, you're horrified by it, but you don't want to look away.
Yeah, the rubbernecking
type of thing. I remember growing up reading comic books and having this morbid fascination with the kind of urban crime that was constantly depicted.
Especially Batman.
Batman was terrible about it. I was always opening up...
his parents died to street crime.
Yeah. I was always opening up pages of Batman in comic book stores as a kid and seeing just...
horrific thing.
The worst stuff that would haunt my dreams and that I couldn't stop thinking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I always went back and it's, like, sick, but because there's that fascination with this taboo, this frightening, you know... I don't know.
In the same way, we do a lot of that same stuff with sex, too. Like, sex is being something that's taboo, but...
Yeah.
The craziest thing about The Purge that I thought was... it's so centered around, like, murder. The main character has a murder plot, essentially, to kill a guy who's wronged.
It's not about crime being legal. It's about murder.
It's about murder being legal. That's the thing. They never go beyond the concept, which I think is, like...
they don't explore...
Yeah.
Well, right. It's just like, this is the world. It's like they made a playground, and the rule is you can kill anyone you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't explore the concepts at all. When, like, they hint at being able to, because they have this whole weird world with, like, a crazy future government and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they could explore these ideas, but they're just not interested in it.
It's a little bit like Equilibrium, in that it's almost like it's the universe they've crafted for it is actually only there to facilitate, you know, these specific scenes that they want to happen.
Well, there's a scene in The Purge where they're in an apartment complex and two of the main characters who are female are about to get sexually assaulted by a guy who, like, lives in their building.
Okay.
And, like, he's like a slob who gives a shit.
Yeah.
And the woman pushes him away all the time. Oh, okay, yeah, fine, whatever. And he busts in the door with a shotgun.
Right, of course.
And it's, you know, he's like, you can't deny me tonight, that sort of thing. And, like...
it's sort of weird that people wouldn't live their whole lives...
waiting for...
preparing to defend exactly against they...
that's also...
probably be sure is going to happen. Yeah,
that's also a problem with...
in that movie,
with
the
high concept.
There's a huge cognitive dissonance, because... and you should do whatever you can to not live in a city.
It's almost as if in the world of The Purge, you forget The Purge is going to happen until the day it happens.
That's basically how it is.
Okay.
People have, like, barricades that they put up on doors and stuff, and people who have, like, a lot of money have, like, really nice... like, everything is... metal sheeting over the windows.
Yeah, the only real nod to it is that there's, like, extra security everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
And by the way that situation resolves itself with the landlord is a bunch of people with bigger guns come in and kill that guy.
Yeah.
And then try and kidnap
him. They never make it, like, a morality play other than the fact of, like, you're grossed out that this might actually happen, that sort of thing. But I think they could... The Purge would almost be better as a series of, like, 35 short stories.
Vignettes.
Of different things people were doing across the city, that sort of thing, and how they tie all together.
Yeah.
And the different types of crime, that sort of thing. They make a nod in The Purge that they're walking through, I'm assuming it's New York City in The Purge.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's New York City. They're walking down, like, Wall Street, and they walk by, like, the Federal Reserve. And the main character, who's, like, you know, the Snake Plissken of the group or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, he's like the...
He was the guy who did prepare for the Purge entire year.
He's a badass ex-military guy, whatever. Okay. But a heart of gold to save a bunch of people because he wants to.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to get revenge for his son. They go through, like, the banking district, and he's like, yeah, we're going through the banking district because no one's here. They move all their money out.
Okay.
Because it's the Purge.
Right.
And that's a nod to, like, oh, in the Purge world... all the banks have to do this thing to prepare for, and that's cool.
Right.
That hit me as cool.
I would actually be more interested in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be more interested in a world preparing for the Purge
than
where people committing
purge.
All the different crimes other than murder.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
or even rape, because it's, we know thing, everybody would, like, as crass as it sounds, everybody's getting raped on Purge Night.
I was actually wondering...
you'd spend the entire year tracking down the person that you're going to assault on Purge Night if you're some loser asshole.
I was actually wondering how often that was going to come up, because it almost seems like in that situation it should come up constantly.
Constantly, literally.
Like, literally.
If you have a daughter on Purge Night, she's next to you, the shotgun's in front of you.
It happens at the beginning, and then it's just an urban survival story.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it has any similarity to any movie, I would say Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, weird guys running around with, like, clown outfits. And
okay, it's just madness.
It's just nonsense.
Just
there's a woman with, like, a bullhorn and, like, a gun on a rooftop. Yeah. It was, like, shooting people that make, like, traps in the street.
Now, it's so... I think you...
So weird.
I think you can make a movie like that, but also have a point or a purpose to
it. Well, they do, but it's so ham-fisted. It's...
Yeah, because there's a resistance group that comes in and saves everybody because they're fighting the evil government that supports
the resistance movement's message is like, you know, fuck the rich, they're trying to kill the poor. They're not going to stop until they kill all the poor.
And then
what are we going to do? We're going to kill the rich.
Doesn't that seem to... I mean, is that like the message
the movie? Well, no, because there's another thing. There's the goal of the main character, which also undercuts the point of the movie now that I think about it.
Okay.
So he's trying to find the guy who killed his son so he can kill him.
The guy drunk drove and hits his son.
No, I want to talk about that.
He didn't even kill him on Purge Night. He just killed him normal?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no crime, but you can drunk drive still and kill people.
And get away with it somehow.
Well, okay. If you get off, did a crime really be committed?
Maybe he was drunk driving on Purge Night.
Maybe. All the drunk drivers can get it out on Purge Night. That's a great idea, by the way.
Purge Night just wouldn't happen if that were true. Everyone would just be dead.
Yeah. Everyone who's drunk and wants to get behind the wheel of the car, all hit the bar until 8 and then go out on Purge Night.
For 12 hours a night. And it's legal.
Everybody would be dead.
Demolition Derby.
I don't know if they would be, because like...
Why a 12-hour demolition derby.
No one looks forward to drunk driving.
I disagree. I think there's people who, once they're drunk, definitely look forward to drunk driving. Maybe.
It's, you know, there's enough people where that's definitely a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in the city, though. They can get an Uber.
Even an Uber.
But the
Uber guy's going
to
be a
fun That's one of the craziest things. Yeah, even if, like, we went out to a bar right now, we could all get home for, like, $12.
Right.
Because
right.
of Uber. Shit's crazy.
Unless it was an actual holiday, and that would be, like, $150.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, but anyway.
Or a Saturday or Friday night.
Spoilers, at the end of the movie, he finds the guy.
Okay.
And decides not to kill him.
Oh, okay.
Because he has a family.
Okay.
Yeah. Then he leaves the house, gets shot by a military guy, and then the guy he let live shoots the military guy in the head. And then the purge is over.
That doesn't sound like a movie. It sounds
No, it's just events happening. So I don't remember the name of it, but I'm actually familiar with the production company that makes those movies.
Okay.
And they sort of specialize in making movies for $3 million that end up making like $70
million. Oh, no, The Purge. Okay. The Purge's budget was $9 million.
Yeah, yeah, they make super cheap
movies. It made $110 million at the box office.
So, like, yeah, they're crazy good at what they do. They're making exploitation films.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's incredibly exploitative.
They also make, like, all those sort of lame, like, horror movies.
Right.
Like, that have been out, like, if it has, like, a sequel in the last 2 years, they've made it.
Yeah. Insidious.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one, actually.
Okay.
The Conjuring, maybe? That was a scary
Oculus.
Movie.
I think Oculus, yeah.
Riz? The goggle thing? The goggle thing that's supposed to change video games?
I'm playing Super Mario in first person!
There's an Oculus Rift video of someone playing the original Legend of Zelda first person through Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
And it looks like you would just immediately throw up and then
yeah, yeah.
You throw up, shit your pants, go home crying.
Yeah.
Oculus Rift.
This blocky landscape.
The way games were never meant to be played.
Yeah.
Adding technology to shit that doesn't need technology.
Yeah, it seems like they're... I don't know how to... I'm not learned enough about society to really, like, break this down. But yeah, I think that there's definitely a niche here that they're hitting, and that niche is that people, especially young people, especially people who are kind of in these sort of middle to low socioeconomic environments, fucking really want to see movies with these particular elements.
I think I think it started with Paranormal Activity.
Yeah. Whoa, was that?
Well, no, actually, I think it started with Saw.
Maybe, but Saw kind of
ran its course.
Saw was
more torture porn. The first Saw was actually a good movie.
And then
three, four, they were just all
these guys aren't
killed.
Making torture porn, though.
Yeah, they're not. They're making
it's exploitation, but it's not.
They're just making weird, wish fulfillment, but it's like dark wish fulfillment.
Yeah.
It's like the sort of thing that makes people fascinated with the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah,
it's that
just
dark, morbid, but kind of like you want this to happen. Yeah. Sort of. Maybe.
Oh, I can break into a store and take stuff.
Right. Right.
It's
yeah.
like that scene in every zombie movie where they're just taking whatever they want.
Super popular with teenagers.
Which I actually liked in Zombieland how they just like break a bunch of shit.
Yeah,
I thought that was really good. That movie's good. That's an underrated film.
I liked it. I think I saw it. I'm pretty sure I saw it.
Yeah.
I liked it, I think.
It's a good movie.
Damn,
that just kind of sputtered out. Zombieland was a good movie.
You brought up Zombieland. The Purge something we felt positive about.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The conversation just died.
The Purge was a 6 out of 10.
Is that your rating? Or
I think it was a 6 out of 10. Or... No, I think it's a 6 out of 10.
I would give it a 4 or 5.
I probably won't watch it again. Was my time better spent doing other things at the time? Four of us were watching, and it was
a movie that was just like strung together set pieces.
Right. Basically. Well, I mean,
that's
all you have to do.
Yeah. I wouldn't have liked it if I spent $13 to go see it.
Yeah, I did.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. Okay.
When he was in class, but I think that being Spider-Man.
He does whatever a spider can, class, like, yeah. Fail DefeQ.
Yeah. Alright, we're back. I am recording.
I am recording.
I am recording.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm Score.
So that was a pretty serious discussion.
Temporarily.
Kinda flies in the face of what I wanted to talk about.
The most serious discussion brought on by The Purge ever, probably. Yeah.
That's almost certainly true.
Yeah.
It was.
That's not a movie you're supposed to leave.
This is why I don't see most movies.
Right. I feel like that concept.
You're too thoughtful, Adam.
I feel like that some concept say is I'm so too good. Smart. There's so much you can do with that concept.
Yeah.
Except make that movie. There's so much good
well,
stuff.
Well, if you all you want to do is make a shitload of money, then that movie then is exactly what you make.
You make a movie that's cheap as hell.
Because if that movie was a little more thoughtful of its subject matter and a little more contemplative about like what it would actually be like, it would probably produce a movie that would not be as successful because it would bring up things that people didn't enjoy watching and thinking about.
It's the every last person, you know, get them all in the seats.
Right.
It'd be so much more better as like a chronological novel that documented like almost every purge.
That would actually be interesting.
I want to say 1984 because of the whole Big Brother element of the government making people kill each other. But man, it would be so much better as like maybe or like a serialized graphic novel or something like that.
I mentioned this earlier, but I'll say it now. My 12-year-old, maybe 13-year-old nephew is actually writing a novel that he builds himself as a combination of The Hunger Games and The Purge.
I really like that he's already starting like the Hollywood pitch style describing things.
And so when he told me about this, I couldn't help but giggle. Now, I actually, for the most part, I do actually like The Hunger Games. I have mixed feelings about the movies.
The Hunger Games?
But I like the story and I like the books or whatever.
Okay. I have no familiarity with them.
Okay. So. They're good. I think they're good. Yeah.
They're PG-13 Battle Royale-ish.
Okay. Yeah. But they use violence in a way that I think isn't exploitative, at least the books anyway, because the author is clearly concerned with
children reading this.
Right. They're depicting what is the influence of a violent environment on youth. People, on youth, specifically on youth, but really it's everybody, and they blow that up to an entire worldview of like what is a world like this like, and I think they're generally pretty good about it. The movies I have mixed feelings about because I think they engage in the same sort of underhanded manipulation media tactics that are broken down like the and exposed movies. In the books.
They're like the biggest movies right now that Harry Potter's over.
Yeah.
And let's just keep going with this because I'll do the other one
and
later.
Well, so it's weird because like you don't have any familiarity with the series.
I mean, aside from what's been described to me.
But they're very concerned with well, propaganda is like a huge thing,
right?
And media control is a huge thing in the world of The Hunger Games.
Right. And I know that there's like the people in the capital are like the rich bad guys,
yeah,
who determine everything.
Yeah, it's not even that most people in the capital are actually just ignorant fops,
right?
It's really just kind of a very very select few kind of people in the know who actually are aware of how their society is working. Again, because of propaganda and spin and media control. So the books are very, very, very good at kind of explaining how this sort of stuff happens and kind of pulling the curtain away, as it were. But the films, although they still hit those same notes, also engage in all of those same tactics while they're decrying them.
I remember there being a marketing thing, for the second movie, where it was like, here's the makeup that the people
of the Capitol I talked about that before. Revlon did a whole line of makeup from the people of the Capitol. Yeah. And the whole idea is the people in the Capitol are
they're
like,
crazy.
Yeah,
they're nuts.
Like crazy postmodern.
They look like
disconnected.
Monsters.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. They look like Lady Gaga traveled back in time.
They're the bad guys. So, the hero.
They're not aspirational.
They're like ancient Roman, like horrible decadence. They're sickening, really.
But you can't make makeup of the refugee people because it would just be dirt.
Right.
So that I thought was incredibly tasteless to do as a marketing ploy. But even right down to like the posters and stuff and the promotional material for it. This is a movie where Jennifer Lawrence spends almost the entire movie sweating, dirty, upset. It's a very grounded and real film in terms of like its visuals or whatever. And in every piece of promotional material, she and everyone else are airbrushed to perfection. They absolutely play up the violent, as she's constantly aiming bows and stuff. And it's the same way that in the books, the Capitol promotes the champions or the tributes or whatever to the audience. And so it's like, it's very, very odd to me. There seems to be a disconnect between the spirit of the work and the way that it's being marketed.
I mean, how many other books has that happened with, though?
I mean, probably
countless ones.
A lot now.
I don't know, but Nerf actually sells a bow and arrow for girls called the Nerf Rebel, Rebelle bow.
No, it's not
pink and white.
It's not Hunger Games themed.
It's not Hunger Games themed. But it is
obviously Hunger Games inspired.
A pink and white bow and arrow for girls. Well, it's all like girl power.
Bow and arrow is actually like, it's weird, but it's like making a comeback in cinema because you look at the friggin' crappy Hobbit movies. People love the archer elf people. You look at the Avengers.
I was a big fan of like
Hawkeye. Arrow is like a huge show on TV right now.
I didn't notice that bow and arrows are coming back.
It's a.
I was always a.
It's a thing.
A Green Arrow fan, so the bow and arrow never left.
See, I didn't know much about Green Arrow until I sat down and had to design this plush doll of him. And I realized that
Can you talk about that?
I think I love the Green Arrow.
Can you talk about that?
Talk about
trade secrets.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing secret about the fact that I'm working on I already did a Green Arrow. I don't think it's a secret. With the Marvel thing, it's like we've got specific details on like costumes and plot elements
that
we're not supposed to talk about.
All right.
Pulling the character.
That's only for Marvel. With DC, we don't get anything. So
okay.
I wouldn't worry. So I did research on the Green Arrow, and I discovered, I think I fucking love the Green Arrow. Green Not the show, I've never seen the show.
Yeah,
but
have I.
But I really like him as a character.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's like Batman, if Batman had ever had something shake up his worldview.
Yeah.
And like make him be a little more thoughtful about the people he's allegedly supposed to actually
he's
be
awesome,
helping.
He's awesome, and he's like gritty, and he still has that stupid that boxing glove arrow.
He still has the ridiculous facial hair and Robin Hood hat.
Yep.
Yeah, he looks terrible in the new 52, though. He looks just like green Hawkeye Bugman.
I think a lot of people aren't happy with the new 52 designs.
They're god awful. All
right.
They're trying terrible.
DC trying to be
Aquaman looks okay. But he also doesn't look like any different.
Aquaman.
Everybody else looks bad.
I mean, if he's already perfect, then
yes.
No mess with success.
Why change Mermaid Man?
It's crazy how exactly like Aquaman Mermaid Man looks. Yeah. That's
apart from the actual clamshell bra.
Yeah,
it's very similar.
I was sure there was like a color difference or something,
nope.
But no.
Not as someone who's dressed up as Mermaid Man before. It's the same.
It's a good costume.
Same shit, different guy.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Whew, got off topic there for...
Yeah, we were talking about Hunger Games.
Discipline is the worst superhero.
But yeah, I'm sure that's happened to a lot of movies. I just think that it's weird with the Hunger Games because of how outspoken the books are against all of that shit.
Hopefully you can think of it as like, oh, we're going to hook them with this, and then we'll teach them this.
So I wonder. I mean, I hope that the kids who are watching the Hunger Games are getting what they're supposed to out of it because... Suzanne Collins is, as far as I know, she's an author that she's been writing books for a very long time, way before they were making them into movies, that were focused on what does violence and what does warfare do to the psyche of a young person. And she was writing these during the Bush administration.
It probably helps a lot.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It probably makes them really good.
Yeah, it makes them great. Well, that's another thing I think the movies are good about, is that the violence is always depicted as absolutely atrocious. They're tasteful about it too. Like They don't revel in it, if that makes sense. Still, but, you know, it's just as manipulative as other movies in terms of, like, the music swells when it's supposed to swell, and they definitely, you know, I mean, it's a Hollywood blockbuster.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's just kind of part and parcel of making a movie.
You're not going to make it as visceral for children.
Just, yeah.
Crazy powerful at making you feel certain things, and they're not going to shy away from that.
Yeah.
There's a formula.
Yeah.
Still, in terms of, like, action movies, though, I at least think that, like, compared to, like we were saying earlier, like, the Avengers or Man of Steel, these, like, superhero movies or whatever, it's still, like, a league more thoughtful with its subject matter, at least. Like, there's violence with consequence. There's a worldview that's being expressed there. It's not just merchandising, so...
I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they did not consult Suzanne Collins when they went to Revlon.
I can't imagine.
Maybe they consulted her with a check.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, dude.
Suzanne needs a summer home, so she's like, all right.
Atrocious.
Suzanne's got to have a summer home by now.
Yeah, you should better.
Fucking atrocious.
Unless she got the opposite of the J.K. Rowling deal. J.K. Rowling's making so much bank, dude. Yeah. She made so much damn bank.
Yeah.
Now they're doing more movies?
Oh, well, they're not. Crazy yeah, they're like
Beasts
set in the same
Crazy Beasts and Where to Find
universe,
Them?
Universe,
or something like that. It's definitely not Crazy Beasts.
See, I think
it's like Miraculous Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's fantastic. Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah.
I lost. I don't know, like, the last 10 things you guys said.
You don't know anything?
That's because it was just kind of muttering in agreement.
Yeah. And then Chance made a funny voice.
That's the...
Yeah.
Completely spun out of control.
I don't know if that was necessarily a Hagrid-ish voice, but...
So, yeah, is that Hagrid?
Is that Hagrid?
Hagrid
the guy?
Is from Harry Potter.
Okay, cool.
Is there going to be a Hagrid movie?
That'd be
awesome.
Kind of neat. The thing is that I feel like Harry Potter wraps up its various plot threads pretty neatly.
Yeah, that's true.
What happened to Hagrid? I don't remember.
He's fine. He's right. Yeah, he just keeps working at Hogwarts.
Isn't he like a big dog or something?
Yeah, Fang.
Yeah, sure.
He's had Fang, though.
I liked all the Harry Potter movies, and I'm just not into the fandom.
I have a weird relationship with those movies, because I was actually vehemently against Harry Potter as a youth, because it was always being pushed on us by teachers, and so I...
Because they're like, oh my god, please read. Please read.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Read anything. Kids
and
like this.
For the love of God.
Yeah. And so,
don't play PlayStation 2.
Automatically was resistant to that, but at the same time, I was reading other stuff. I was already interested in, like, fantasy and
You're almost the choir at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't need this. And so I resisted reading the books, and I reluctantly went and saw the movie, the first one, and I was like, whatever, it was okay, I guess, it was whatever. Saw the second one on DVD, and I was like, oh, that was kind of neat. Still not great, still a little predictable and annoying, but there's something interesting. As soon as they started bringing up, like, the actual conflict of, hey, there's this fucking movement towards actual bad shit.
Yeah.
This whole, like, Mudbloods thing, like, that got me interested.
Essentially racial tension.
Yeah, basically. And then third one I wasn't crazy about, but then pretty much after the third one, each subsequent one, I was like, yeah, I think I like this a lot. And by the time it was over, I really liked it. Yeah, I really liked it. It was like a really, really, really good shonen comic.
Have you seen all of them?
Without the fights.
I haven't seen all the movies. I've read all the books. I actually did start reading them in middle school.
Because
I think
movies.
My grandmother bought me the first one, and then after that, I was just like, oh, okay.
My grandmother bought me all of them, and I read, like, the first one, the half of the second one, and then I just watched all the films.
At this point, I think...
It still makes me feel shitty that she bought all of them.
In college, I had some weird Harry Potter experiences.
Do tell.
That sounds a lot more interesting than it's like going to end up being.
Yeah, it sounds like there's going to be like broom handles involved.
No. I did not play Quidditch.
Quidditch. I knew someone who was on the NYU Quidditch team.
Nice.
So, I think I was in college for...
Beater off, maybe. I don't know.
Beaters, bluffers, snitchers, and snatchers.
Wallet
bongers. Bongers and bangers.
Bangers and mash.
Whippers
and... Oh, that's good.
Yeah, bangers and mash.
Had that in Harry Potter world this summer.
Bangers and mash?
Was it everything you expected?
It was good. It was sausage and mashed potatoes.
I don't know any of the, like, outside universe.
Oh, I drank so much butter beer.
What is it?
It's just, like, cream soda with some extra stuff, but it was just fucking delicious, and it was great to walk around Diagon Alley and drink butter beer, and
that wasn't the real Diagon Alley.
Shut up! It was
they just remade it for Disney World.
So convincing.
You were in Florida.
It was Universal.
Oh yeah, you were in Florida.
I was in Florida. I know.
All right.
How many?
But it was very convincing. I have to say, like, the set piece that they had made there. It was, like, remarkably detailed.
How many people walked through Harry Potter World asking where Luke Skywalker was?
Honestly, most people seem to have trouble finding Harry Potter World. I had trouble finding it because it's literally hidden. The second day we were there, there were wizards outside that were, like, pointing people towards Harry Potter World. Because you have to go through, like, the weird hidden pathway in the train station.
Right.
So, like, when we first got to Harry Potter World...
that's actually cool, though.
Yeah, there's, like, a facade of, like, London. And we were walking around, and we were like, oh, that's neat. Is this Harry Potter World? Is this it? The night bus is over there? I get that's cool. Oh, look, there's creature in the window. That's neat. I thought there'd be rides or something. And then there's, like, this weird little, like, It looks like a bathroom, honestly. Well, yeah, it looks like a restroom. And there's people coming in and out from both sides. And I was like, oh, is that... What is that? Or is that a bathroom or what? So you go through it.
They went too deep.
And then on the other side, it's just, oh my god, it's Diagon Alley. Oh, okay. Oh, this is Harry Potter World. That was just...
They went, like, really deep.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's kind of cool, actually.
I was stalked by a girl from the college newspaper who would repeatedly ask me questions about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
What?
Okay, so when I was in college...
Now, this is exactly where I wanted this to go.
Yeah, I think in college, two of the books came out. It was 2005 through 2009.
There were at least two.
Mm-hmm. There were at least two releases.
Yeah, your first year in college was when the last one came out. Because I graduated in 08.
No, that wasn't our first year. I was working at Ultrazone.
There were definitely at least two, because there were at least two instances.
It must have been like 2000, summer of 2007 when that book came out or something.
Yeah.
Maybe 2006.
So, I'm in the... the lunch room, the cafeteria. Oh,
the cafeteria.
I'm eating lunch with my roommate, and this girl walks up to the table, and she's like, hey, have either of you read Harry Potter? And I'm like, yeah, I have. And she's like, are you excited for the next one? I'm like, oh, I guess. Yeah, I'll probably buy it. And then she, like, keeps, like, asking me questions, because she obviously wants me to feed her some, like, super enthusiastic, oh, I love Harry Potter, I can't wait for it.
She was trying to get a quote from you.
She was trying to get me a quote.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I sort of got it, but I also didn't want to be in the paper as the biggest Harry Potter fan.
Noted Harry Potter lover.
Yeah.
Known amateur magician.
Yeah.
Or wizard. Magician.
Wizard enthusiast. Scott Spivak. It was a couple of minutes of her talking to me, trying to
get... Wand aficionado.
I'm deflecting like a politician that just got involved in like a scandal.
I can't like confirm. Rita Skeeter.
My roommate's like staring at me, like, because he had no patience for anyone. Clearly getting annoyed with this girl about to tell her just to fuck off. And then I'm like, okay.
Your roommate wasn't like a big Harry Potter. He was just like a regular dude bro. Right?
He was kind of a dude bro, except he loved Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
Yeah,
and Ninja Turtles too,
and
right?
Ninja Turtles.
The shit one.
He had a real passion for like impossible shitty NES games.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
It's respectable.
Yeah.
As someone that's beaten Deadly Towers, I can get behind that.
Yeah, you would have gotten along with him. I mean, he beat The Adventure of Link every year, which I always thought was kind of weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But
it's so hard.
Other than that, like, you know, obviously...
You gotta keep skills sharp.
Guess so, yeah.
He had no interest in Harry Potter, obviously.
Right.
So finally she goes away. There's an article about it in, like, the next issue. I don't read it.
Sure, okay.
I avoid it.
Because who reads the school newspaper? Yeah, right. I wrote in the school newspaper, I didn't read the school newspaper.
So did I, and neither did I.
Same. We all did the same thing.
That tells you where print is, boys.
I actually,
Prince dead. It's all about moving pictures.
I was writing, like, onion-type satire articles for my college paper for a while. So. Until I, like, had a panic attack and stopped doing it. Which sucks, because I could have built up a reputation for, like, writing things that aren't that funny.
All I got to do was I just got to write, like, the just serious, like, news stuff that nobody else... All anybody in my newspaper wanted to write was op-ed movie reviews.
Uh-huh.
So anything that was remotely, like, actual news reporting, I did. So the paper would come out and it would be 50% me.
Right.
But none of the things I wrote were interesting or reflective of me because I was just reporting.
All right, let's get to this later because I have a story about my time at the paper that I just remembered. So, like, flash forward a couple years later, I think it's Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, that's the last
coming out.
Part 1 or 2?
No, it's not the movies, it's the books.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm way behind.
Oh, okay.
I'm so much younger than you guys, I'm sorry. Yeah.
She was talking to me about the books.
Okay.
Definitely.
God, I'm so young.
Wait, did two books really come out over the course of us being...
It must have been, it was 4 years.
Oh, yeah, because there was a Snape killed Dumbledore
thing.
You bitch! You
bitch! If you don't know what that is, let us know.
Go to You're the Man Now.
Oh god, no one's used that since our freshman year of college.
No, no, it's still there.
It's still there, but
Adam's brother has.
You just can't possibly understand any of the jokes because they've mutated into unrecognizable things.
So,
wow, nice meme.
Alright, it's 2008, 2009. I'm in the college bookstore, and the girl's back.
She recognizes me. She said, there's only one Harry Potter
like,
fan on this
campus. It was like a Pokemon battle. You met eyes, and she was just like, you.
I was literally like... I was in
Scott,
the bookstore.
Scott, you deflect.
Didn't want... It was not effective.
You tried to run away.
She had me cornered.
Yeah.
I'm looking at...
You can't run away from a trainer battle.
That's a good point, Chase.
Wasted a turn.
You could have used a substitute.
Did you try to catch her Pokemon?
You can't do that. Earthquake, your guy's dead. Oh,
how wasn't there one where it would say, like, the trainer swats your Pokeball away?
Oh, I don't know. That sounds awesome.
Like, you're just... you're
swapping out of your head. No. Like, it would work if you did do that.
Right.
And she's like, oh, hey, you're the Harry Potter guy.
You're like, wrong, I'm like, no. wrong.
That's no not matter how name. You try to make me the Harry Potter
guy. Imagine if you were like the Harry Potter guy at school. You had to do something ridiculous to not be known as the Harry Potter guy. You're like, you remember that guy who walked in the lunchroom naked and started doing the Macarena? Yeah, I'm that guy.
Yeah, that's the Harry Potter guy.
Yeah,
Harry
Potter guy, right?
No, not that guy. Naked Macarena guy.
Yeah, you're the Harry Potter guy. You walked in naked and did the Macarena. So it's the same thing, except I'm alone this time.
I'm going to go fist fight the dean.
Right, yeah. Right. Hey, did you hear Harry Potter guy fist fight the dean?
Throw him off a roof.
I feel like that's
just like in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a Simpsons joke right here.
Too funny.
For all I knew, for how sociable I was in college, I was the Harry Potter guy.
For all
I knew.
You never know.
So, you didn't have a wizard hat or robe.
Yeah, that's basically the story. I don't know how she found me again. She must just scour the campus talking to everyone she can about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact there was at least like...
Which makes her Harry Potter girl.
Did she only write about Harry Potter?
She must not have. I mean, maybe she only came in for Harry Potter.
Oh, we have a Harry Potter ringer on the news.
Get Lindsay. Harry Potter's coming back.
Yeah.
I only know one woman who can report on this story. Oh my god, that's crazy.
Right.
She was Harry Potter girl, though.
Harry Potter
to
girl.
You, yeah.
To me.
Probably to a lot of people.
Style, film, Harry Potter, sports.
It's the breaking news.
Nice.
Oh, good.
Very nice.
The four food groups or whatever. Media groups.
It's great.
Yeah,
they make up the media pyramid that you need to take in every single day. Actually, the four groups are...
You need your tweets.
Yeah.
Right?
You need tweets, Harry Potter. I keep wanting to say Smallville, but that's not the one. The one with the two hunky brothers. And
oh, Supernatural.
Supernatural. Supernatural.
Love Supernatural.
Third.
Yeah.
For the record, Dean is a cuter brother.
And then there's a fourth one.
Like, it depends. Like, it depends what you're looking for. Depend.
We're not debating this
I think
shit.
It does.
If you're looking for...
I'm walking out if it's happening. First on, like, we protest.
Would want you, we would want you to walk out, because this is between us.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
I'm out of my element.
You don't know the Natch.
I don't know shit.
I think you're getting too specific, Chase. I mean, I think
I'll
really...
I'll get Natched up.
It's the tweets. You need your tumbles.
Tweets, tumbles.
Likes from Instagram or Facebook.
Oh, yeah, you gotta get your Instagram on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hamgramming.
Yeah.
And your snaps, your Snapchats.
Your gram standing.
Fuck Snapchat. Snapchat's like the dumbest thing
ever. No, Snapchat's not, that's not even a...
How else are you gonna know when I'm eating spaghetti?
In my world, I can't imagine Snapchatting anyone you don't want to have sex with. Like, in my day, there's no one I could give a flying fuck about. Even my closest friends.
Right.
That I could give a shit about when they're like... At the DMV, and they take a picture of themselves and caption it. I would literally take my phone and throw it down the street. I'd be like, this amazing piece of technology people have worked so hard on for so long.
Would you skip it like in a pond?
No, I wouldn't even skip it. I'd just throw it as far as I could. I'd be like Uncle Rico and I'd throw it over them there, man.
Like the end of Top Gun?
We would have taken Steve.
Coach would put me in. But seriously, it's like, you could just text me if you need me to know. Like, hey man, I'm making brownies.
But if they send you a picture... Then you have it forever and you could leak it.
How do you know
In Snapchat you can't because you only get to watch it for like
5 seconds. Exactly, that's my point. I hate it. They need to send you pictures of them at the DVD they don't want you to hang on to. The DMV, not the DVD.
How do you know your friend doesn't want to have sex with you at the DMV?
That's a good point.
I don't know, maybe. I feel like my friends would be upfront about it.
They'd cheer the place up.
You pantomimed like the high angle like bathroom shot, which I assume you only take to lure people into sex.
No, maybe. Because it's got a weird way of making it.
It's a flattering angle.
I've been taking low angle shots.
No,
and I never get a response.
See, if you look,
unless you get
up above,
right under the junk.
Yeah, the
only way that
looking
a low angle shot works.
Looking up at your crotch probably makes it look bigger.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not naked. Like, I look all the way down, so my face is all bunched up.
That's another possible misstep there.
Well, more chins is a sign of prosperity.
You do want to be mostly nude.
Mostly.
Mostly.
Okay, so like gloves?
If you've got like a hat on still.
Yeah.
If you've got like hats or gloves, I think there's something.
Do you remember in Morrowind how people wouldn't treat you as naked if you were wearing like a necklace?
I don't remember that. Okay.
That was a fun way to play the game.
Yeah, I bet.
Because you could just take the necklace off and people would be like, oh, you're disgusting. Ass wit. And then you put the necklace on, it's like, hello, sir. How are you?
This guy's obviously a high class because he can afford this necklace.
Yeah, exactly.
He just chooses not to wear clothes.
That's a nice necklace.
It's all they can see because they don't want to look at your dick and balls.
Focus on.
I mean, in that game, I hang it on my necklace. That didn't make sense.
No, it didn't.
But you know what
I mean. I think I get the. Yeah.
Hang it on my junkum.
Your junkum?
Yeah.
Is that like Elder Scrolls talk for your scrotum?
Yes. That's what they refer to the junk in Elder Scrolls.
The Junkum!
Are you serious? I've played so many of those games.
You've never done the Junkum quest?
No.
Would you like to retrieve the Junkum from this Kaijit?
Those are cat people.
The Kershigs.
Those are cat people. Oh, dear God.
I played as a Kaijit in Skyrim, and I tried to...
It's not Kaijit.
Whatever. I tried to play completely unarmed. I tried to do the super cat build that Noah had invented in Oblivion.
Yeah.
That's your first mistake.
Yeah, it did not go all that well.
Probably went better than you expected.
I mean, it was, I guess, kind of shocking how many of the dragons that I simply punched to death.
Right.
But it did make, because there's no skill tree for unarmed combat, it made it so that combat was actually completely pointless for me. Yeah. I didn't get anything out of fighting. It's a sucky game.
A nice,
sucky game. I tried to break the game, and it's shitty. I don't understand.
Well, I didn't try to break it. I tried to...
Yeah. They give you an option.
They let you fight unarmed.
You can do...
And they give you a bonus.
And they do. There's one bonus in the game that you can... So, yeah, Kaiji, you get a bonus for unarmed combat, and there's one spell in the game you can cast that reinforces your unarmed... Yeah. And that's as far as they'll go to support.
You can do anything in Skyrim as long as that anything is going into cave and hitting zombies
and making iron daggers.
Oh, dude, so I was the god at iron daggering.
I invented that blacksmithing shit, and now the internet's taking credit for it.
Right.
No, I didn't know about it before then, but after I was like, this is genius.
Yes. You just become a mass production factory, and you get a million levels.
Deeply flawed system.
No, it's perfect. They're good at what they do, Adam. That's why they made an MMO in this day and age.
I like that the idea that you would make the same thing over and over again.
And then you could make something of brilliance.
Right. Well, like, that's like, you want to get really good at whittling? Whittle a spoon 40,000 times, and then you'll be able to whittle a 40-foot owl.
You know what the best...
You'd be a goddamn good spoon maker.
You'd be great at making spoons, yeah.
Another thing that was really good about that is that you were never using your forge.
No.
You're always going to, like, the local blacksmiths. But, hey, can I use this for a second?
Yeah.
And in that game, they would be using the stuff, and you'd have to be like, get up.
Yeah.
And then it would walk away.
I had this great... I did the iron thing
but
once where... there was a problem where the hot...
Die you off that chair.
The hot iron didn't get onto the anvil. Okay. Instead, it projected through the back of my arm. So it just looked like my cat had, like, a red-hot blade coming out of his elbow.
That doesn't sound like something that would happen in Skyrim.
It's pretty hot.
Every time I died, the tip of my tail would freeze in space, but the rest of my body would keep moving, so my tail would just become extruded infinitely to wherever my body landed. And that happened almost every time I died.
Right, because you were fighting unarmed. We will be right back. Listeners will not forgive us.
Harry Potter girl. Oh my god. Maybe she just didn't give a shit about Harry Potter. Maybe she wanted to be your once and future wife.
I really like that phrase.
The once and future. Well, the best way to do it is to bother me about Harry Potter over the course of years.
I've learned anything about human to human courting, it's that that's not the craziest thing.
Yeah, certainly not, actually.
Perhaps.
Certainly not.
I wouldn't have noticed either way. But, so, I think you guys are familiar with this story.
Here we go.
This happened way back in 2008, and it's like the best thing that... The best article ever written about Ben Salem.
Commencement.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
The headline is, and this will bring back some memories, I think, Turkey Terror Over.
Oh, no.
Testy Tom Euthanized.
No.
Yes.
I vaguely don't remember this.
Why do you bring this up?
Because the article is fucking fantastic.
It makes me so
testy
sad.
Testy Tom,
okay.
The god.
Go ahead.
The right. Actual god.
So, in lieu of explaining it, I'm just going to start reading from here.
Go for it.
The huge wild turkey that haunted Byberry Road residents for years, with surprise attacks, has been cooked, figuratively. Soon he'll be cooked, literally. This is the Trentonian, fuck them.
Throw fucking garbage at this kid.
I think my friend wrote for them for a while. Police shot and killed Testy Tom on Wednesday after he attacked and clawed a 24-year-old Burger King clerk who had been waiting at a bus stop there near the township police station.
Why does it have to be a Burger King clerk?
Yeah, I don't know why they had to be specific
product
about that.
Placement.
I think the author had a little too much fun writing this.
Turkeys hate Burger King.
I just have to say that...
They love Wendy's.
Foolish move, Testy Tom, to start jumping people right near the police station, though.
Dumb.
So, yeah, we had a rampaging turkey in Ben Salem.
I get that a turkey is like fairly large, but
apparently, I mean, I don't think he was big for a turkey. I think he was just a turkey because turkeys are giant birds.
The idea is like, who wants to mess with a turkey?
Right.
It's a weird wild animal.
Well, nobody.
Yeah.
He wanted to mess with others.
Allegedly, he was fairly aggressive. I never encountered him.
I didn't either.
Didn't, and I live near there, so I don't know. I never encountered this. Apparently insane wild turkey. Although I did hear after the fact that he allegedly had sort of a sad backstory.
Oh, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Maybe the wild turkey was drinking
wild turkey. It's the terrible tragedy of Testy Tom, the terrible turkey.
I cannot stand that alliteration.
Well, too fucking much. Deal with it, because it's here to stay.
Oh my god.
You just used up all our comedy T sounds.
The rest of the podcast will go without T sounds in 3.
I was gonna say tatas, and now I can't.
You had 1 second to get it in, you did. Bazookas.
Bazoombas.
Bazoombas. Bazoobas pants.
The woman, Jennifer Jackson, was treated at...
Oh, why more alliteration?
I can't help that.
The woman, Jumpin' Jennifer Jackson...
Come on.
...was treated at Frankfurt Torresdale Hospital in Philadelphia.
The worst hospital.
Where the turkey's talon punctures on her arms were cleaned out, and she was given a tetanus shot. Jackson said she will likely require surgery to repair a shoulder rotator cuff torn as she desperately swung her pocketbook, heavy with a can of soda inside, at the beast to ward it off.
There's so much idiocy in that sentence.
Yeah, that's not like
a
situation.
How do you swing your pocketbook so hard you tear your rotator cuff? That happens to like major league pitchers.
She might have been like over her head, maybe.
Why is a can of soda the heaviest thing? I'm sure her Clinique bag is probably bigger than that. Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Sounds like
it. Are you asking us? We're just a couple boys that like Supernatural.
There's a couple of good old turkey fearing boys.
It was crazy. Quite an experience, said Ms. Jackson.
I tore my shoulder. It was great.
Why did they write this article?
Because you got a report.
Like, this isn't...
It's gone from the actual news website. That's good. And someone took it and copied it over to the World Waterfowl Forums, which is where I found it.
God bless their hearts.
What do they have to say about this on the World Waterfowl Forums?
No one responded to it. Like, someone posted the article and no one was interested. It's not a fucking waterfowl, you asshole.
I mean, it's not.
If this isn't about mallards,
it's a bloodfowl.
I remember being, like, a little upset about this situation.
I mean, it wasn't good, and it does end with an animal docking.
Yeah.
But there's...
Just keep going.
Well, like, the police came and shot this turkey. Like,
it's so much,
there was no
dude,
animal control.
It's so much worse than that.
Okay, let him go.
Ben Salem police have absolutely refused comment, even to acknowledge what happened to the turkey. At the order of Director Fred Herron, said spokeswoman Sandy Scanlon. So there's a cover-up.
Sandy Scanlon!
What?
There's a cover-up.
The fuck?
We can't get away from it. Alliteration.
What is this?
I don't know. But there's a cover-up with Testy Tom. Jackson, however, learned of Testy Tom's fate in a roundabout way. So after she got attacked, she, like, went all detective,
she wanted vengeance.
The nurse at the hospital, when she called the Ben Salem Police Department, said that they had tased it 3 times. In the past, for the same thing.
What?
So they tased it, and they left it.
Why are they trying to execute
what is happening?
Punishment?
Why are they treating this turkey like
a person?
A person?
Well, first of all,
go!
Do we not have? Did they cuff it?
Oh,
did they Mirandize it? Like, what is the animal control for, if not for handling turkeys?
We'll get into what animal control is for.
You have the right to remain moist and based. Basted. Anything you say can and will be seasoned against you in the court of the kitchen.
Chance, you are, like, dead on.
He's like, oh, I can't wait to shuck that turkey one more time. God, I hope he steps.
They had it put down Wednesday. Another news report quoted a neighbor who said she heard a shot from the area of the police station across the street.
Right.
Then went over and saw the turkey's body lying there.
They executed it, dude. They tased it
until it was paralyzed, and then they executed it.
I would like to think it's a drug deal gone wrong.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
Like,
why do you think I'm reading this article?
That's absolute insanity. And probably animal cruelty or something?
It's definitely animal cruelty.
I can't just
tase an animal.
Tom was euthanized after the go-ahead was given by John Popso, wildlife conservation officer for the Pennsylvania Game Commission.
That makes sense.
He said Ben Salem police called him in Quakertown after the turkey attack on Jackson. I started down to Ben Salem, Popso said. I was conversing with them back and forth. I told them if it was having a problem with people, to euthanize it if they could safely do so. I was halfway to Ben Salem when they called me back and say, okay, we took care of the problem.
By the way, Quakertown's like an hour outside of Ben Salem.
That is terrifying.
So they let him get a half hour, 40 minutes down the road. And
yeah,
we ain't gotta come here, we just shot it.
Yeah.
After tasing it 3 times. Oh, dear God.
I continued on down. I'm new to the job and I wanted to meet the officers. So he wanted to...
He's the most likable person in the story.
Right, so far.
Yeah.
Popso said he picked up Testy Tom's body, too. So his job is now just to...
notified its next of kin.
Handle, dispose of the body. He's the cleaner. Rather than waste
He's
it...
He's the wolf. He's Winston Wolf.
Rather than waste it...
More alliteration.
I wanted to make sure it went to the needy.
Oh, well, that's...
I have a list of people I can give a deer or a turkey to. Rather than waste it, this turkey went to an individual that could use the help. So he just gave it to some guy he knows.
Hopefully
this
he's
like
hopefully
a
he's
wild
a
turkey.
Guy. Hopefully he's a needy guy.
Well, is this how the Pennsylvania
game
A police B game commission do their business?
I don't know. There hasn't been enough turkeys to like have a like a good enough sample.
It just seems remarkably slapdash.
That's yeah, they've probably never dealt with this something kind of thing before.
I mean, but like we have like animal hospitals and shelters
well,
and stuff.
I personally
who handle animal euthanizations. You don't shoot a turkey in the head.
I know that on the day of my senior prom, there was a deer that got loose at near my mom and dad's house. It was running around through people's yards and stuff, and a cop just came out and shot it.
This is why you don't call the police ever.
Well, we just took a hard left on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We are staunchly pro-Turkey, staunchly anti-Batil Cup.
Fishtail out of that conversation.
Buddy, I just want to say, hashtag Cop Lives Matter. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, I'm not anti-cop at all, but I'm just never going to call the police again.
Not to deal with an animal.
No, not to deal with anything. Well, I mean, you
not to deal with my own murder.
You read stuff all the time where, you know,
he's got that gun. You just want to use it. Just want to use it.
I don't want to get into like. I don't want to get into too much, but
you don't want to go into the lost episode.
I mean, in fairness to the cops, yeah. he did tell them to like.
He did tell them to shoot it.
He told them to euthanize it if they could do it safely.
To be fair, they used less lethal methods against the turkey. Three times there.
And it was probably still resisting,
well,
Adam.
Shouldn't...
It probably went for... Adam, it could have gone for its gun.
Shouldn't... It made a sudden movement.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, shouldn't animal control have been called...
I don't know. I don't know the policies on
yeah, other can you
times
do anything with
that
turkey?
The
can
turkey
you, can you turn
attacked?
It out?
Well, this guy's new, so maybe there was... You know?
Maybe screwed
so
up.
This guy's new to the job.
It just sounds... It just sounds insane that this is something that happened.
Oh, most definitely.
Jackson was frightened by Tom's size when he came after her. I was at the bus stop.
Fuck, it's a bird!
I was at the bus stop, and I heard it behind me, and I turned around to see what it was.
That is a bird! Get to a bus
stop! Well, okay, I think she was, like, she had a glass of water, and she saw, like, the ripple from the shaking
if you,
from the footsteps.
I mean, if you know that area...
yeah.
I mean, like...
You bred turkeys?
If anything, this says... a lot about Bensalem.
The juxtaposition of metropolitan and rural.
Yeah. Okay, because like half the bus stops in Bensalem are a pole next to a forest.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have sidewalks here in Bensalem.
Not that much, no.
So,
we don't have sidewalks next to our fancy casino with all the video screens.
No, we don't. So, to be fair...
A boy can dream.
Jennifer Jackson was probably standing in a bush next to a pole that said... Bus stop.
She heard a rustling.
Right.
The turkey jumped over the fence.
What?
And started, like, coming at me.
There's no way.
And I didn't know what to do, so I ran across the street, but it ran after me.
Are you sure
it's a fucking crazy turkey. It will not look both ways.
Are you sure this wasn't a small gentleman? How did he jump, like, a 5-6 foot fence?
The turkey thought it was the Purge.
One night a year, all turkey crime is legal.
That night is Thanksgiving.
That is Thanksgiving night. The turkey bird.
Jesus.
You do anything
the
you want.
The turkey bird. You do anything you want with mashed potatoes. The turkey perch.
All right.
I'm going to put bread up its butt.
When you really think about it, there is some fucked up stuff going on Thanksgiving.
I'm going to shove bread up its butt. You can do anything you
herb
want to
crumbs.
I mean, turducken should probably be
illegal.
Against
except for one day a year for 12 hours.
Oh, that's disgusting.
One day a year. You can cook whatever you want for 12 hours.
The Purge 3. Everything is legal for 12 hours, including turducken and foie gras.
You
can eat veal for 12 hours without feeling bad.
There would be a scene towards the beginning where someone was going to sexually assault the turkey. But...
You don't know where I've been, the turkey screamed.
So go on.
All right.
Oh, dear God.
It was so big. I didn't know turkeys could get that big. I assume it's like the size of a car.
I only saw them at the grocery store.
It would have fed like 8 families at Thanksgiving. I like that she threw that in.
I don't think that's true.
I do think it's true. Because when I worked at the grocery store, people would always buy the biggest turkey possible. When there's no way they could have, you know, you're not going to eat 21 pounds of bird.
No.
Dude, I don't know. There's some big ass.
You can feed a lot of people with a turkey.
Especially a wild turkey, not like a penned in turkey.
I didn't even know we had wild turkeys in Bensalem.
We do have.
Apparently we do, and they're
wild turkeys
pissed.
And wild turkey whiskey.
It was like.
One pissed wild turkey.
101.
It was like jumping on me. I had my right arm up, protecting my face. I was defending myself with my pocketbook, which had a can of soda in it.
For the second time in the story, we had to throw that in there.
I'm going to throw out that I don't think can of soda is, like, your best option for
I mean,
yourself.
I think at
maybe
this
at
point,
the time it is.
I mean, like, what...
Why is the can of soda so fixated upon?
It's weird that the author would explain it knowing that he was going to include this quote later.
He definitely realized no one's going to read this.
This is bad writing.
Bad journalism.
Yeah, it's bad journalism.
Yellow journalism. Brown journalism.
Swinging it back and forth.
Orange, yellow, and brown journalism.
I don't know what you're doing.
He's doing Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Oh, okay. All right.
We're there.
All right, okay.
Swinging it back and forth to get the turkey off of me. I ended up tearing my shoulder.
That's insane.
Should have taken self-defense classes against turkeys.
Or maybe, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
wreck.
I walked away from it.
Kept running.
Yeah. Attempt to not...
I like that she goes across the street, the turkey crosses the street, and was like, well, it's on.
I guess...
Fight or flight.
Why would a turkey be so...
I guess they're territorial.
Aggro. You aggroed the turkey. You gotta cross the street to leash it.
Yeah, I was screaming. A car drove by.
Was I screaming? Yeah, I was screaming.
A car drove by, and I was like, help. And a woman pulled over, and she had an umbrella. So now I'm...
This is the lamest RPG game ever.
Yeah.
What weapons do we have? We have a pocketbook, a can of Coke, and an umbrella.
It's like terrible Earthbound.
Yeah, it's like Earthbound, but without the success.
Yeah.
Or Starman.
We finally got the... This is my favorite part. We finally got the turkey off of me, and that's when my bus came. And I had to go. So I just jumped on the bus. She goes to Burger King.
I just tore my shoulder. I got assaulted and tore my shoulder.
It's like a sitcom where she's gonna walk in with like her clothes ripped to shreds, like all beat up.
No one's gonna believe her. First off, no one's gonna believe her.
Yeah, no.
What boss in the fast food industry would be like? Makes sense.
None. You only get days off above a certain pay grade. Yeah. After that, they just think you're full of shit.
Oh my god.
Her aunt, a nurse, told her to go to the emergency room instead of work. I think that's the most likable person in the story.
Mm.
Maybe you should go to the hospital after being clawed by a wild animal. They admitted the turkey has attacked at least 5 people in the past.
Oh, well, that's... those victims' names are withheld for their own protection.
Billy Bobby.
Oh, my God. Billy Bobby, Salty Stevie. Oh, my God.
Matt Mitchell.
Matt Mitchell's a good one. Good guy.
All right, let's just...
There's two more
let's power through this.
We're almost done. As a footnote, neighbors recalled a long history with Tom. He is said to have appeared 4 years ago with a female mate. They had little babies walking with them.
Oh my god.
Gradually, the turklets disappeared.
Turklets?
Then the female dropped from sight.
Oh my god, wow.
This last mating season, Testy Tom turned really cranky.
Really dranky?
Really dranky.
He got really drunk. And I'll tell you, take my fucking wife and kids away from me, brother. I've got nothing left to lose.
So he's like a divorced dad.
Yeah, he's got nothing left to lose.
Yeah, he's got absolutely nothing left to lose.
Yeah, and so he fits in Ben Salem.
This poor creature, probably driven mad with grief.
Yeah.
Over the loss of its family.
How big this...
It was probably trying to, like, come on to Jennifer Jackson.
I don't think so.
I'm not even... Just talk to me.
Turkey Purge. He was doing whatever he wanted. He was going crazy. He's mad with power.
So either wife and kids left him, or something happened.
It's true.
I mean, it's Ben Salem. I'm sure somebody killed
him. Rumor was when they shot him and he was on the ground, he had his little turkey wallet.
Yeah.
A picture of his young...
I'm sure somebody killed... Those other turkeys.
With a bunch of money he was saving up to send to them.
Yeah.
Go to college.
Oh, dear Jesus. Turkey college. At Purdue. Purdue University.
No, don't go to Purdue.
Oh, Boilermakers, go.
They admitted the turkey has attacked at least 5 people in the past.
It's so many.
One of the gentlemen who pulled over to help me said that he was driving by last week and it was attacking a mother and a child.
And he had
to kick it to get it off of them.
It's gotten
so it's up. Happened before plenty of times. I hear from the neighbors that it even chases after cars. My wife and kids left me! My wife and kids left me! I'll take it out on you!
He's so crazy.
He's an angry...
He's gotta be grief-stricken. He's probably got like PTSD or something.
He's probably nuts. He probably is.
He probably drove him crazy.
Yeah.
Because he's in Ben Salem.
Yeah.
This is not where a turkey should be.
Spokeswoman Scanlon was asked to ask Director Herron to respond to this question.
Herron.
Why didn't police do something about the serial attacker before? Why did police allow this terror to continue for so long? Herron didn't bother calling back. I mean, my question is, why would you shoot a turkey in the head? And now she's got, like, a net.
Do we not have animal control in this zone?
We might not. Yeah, I mean, we have to have some.
I don't know if we do.
I have no idea.
Because that doesn't even sound like something the police should have to do.
Right.
They should probably do cop things.
Yeah. I mean,
when you have a lot of forestry areas, you don't really need animal control.
Yeah.
All the actually, I think looking back, they called a park ranger for the deer.
I mean, we just can't get it back.
We
have a animal control officer, and he's on Byberry Road.
He's on the very road.
That I mean, maybe here. Now.
Yeah, maybe they brought one in.
Yeah.
In memory of Thomas.
Can't have another testy Tom.
What a fucking debacle.
I don't think you can handle it more poorly.
Yeah.
Unless no one
handled this situation well. The police, Jennifer Jackson, the turkey.
No.
It's just people's inability to deal with conflict.
I think a turkey at least has the excuse of being a turkey.
Right.
a grief-stricken
yeah.
shell of his former self.
Yeah. Yeah.
How big could... the only thing that's going through my head is, how big does a turkey have to be before you'll be like, I cannot mess with it? Like, I can't just shoo it away.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're fairly large.
They are fairly large, but I feel like me as a man, like, if a turkey came out and kept coming, I could push it away and be like, all right.
Yeah, but,
at the very least, I think I could probably outrun a turkey if I had to. Like, if I was really losing this turkey battle,
yeah,
I feel like I could probably get away. I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating. Maybe they're fast as hell. I have no idea.
Maybe they could fly. They can't fly.
I think they could probably fly, like, brief distances.
They probably have some clout.
But I don't know, maybe.
I don't know about any...
I remember actually being aware of that happening when it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we thought it was someone that we went to high school with.
It was actually pretty upsetting. Yeah, then... Oh, is it not?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't believe so.
That's good.
Yeah.
That makes me feel better.
To be fair, a turkey's fairly menacing if he's got that full plumage behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously pretty aggressive.
Big red head, neck that looks like a ball sack.
That's not the only time we've had just an animal wandering around here and no one did anything about it. You remember the goat?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was driving home from Feasterville at like 4 in the morning, and there was something in the road. I thought it was a dog at first, so I slowed down, and then once I got closer, I saw that it had horns.
And you're like a devil dog.
But it was still small.
A fell hound.
And so I came to a full stop.
Hound on. Or whatever.
And, it was a goat standing in the middle of street road
what
at
are you doing, gout?
3 in the morning or so. And so I was like, I don't... Should I... Like, I opened my door and I got out to look at it. And
am I
like,
drunk?
Should I...
I'm not drunk.
What do I do about this?
Am I high?
And no, before I could do anything, it just pranced off into the woods.
Because it could have given a shit. Just like, ho-hum.
Didn't think much of it until maybe a couple days later I read in the newspaper that apparently someone had put out an ad for a missing goat. They lost their goat. There was a reward for getting their goat back.
The reward could have been yours.
I was kicking myself.
Yeah. You could have just had to, you would have just had to hold on to a goat for a couple of days.
Yeah.
You'd have had to goat nap it.
I think there was a bear, too.
Yeah, yeah, there was a black bear that was around like a couple months ago.
I can't imagine who they fed that one to.
A bigger family that could use
someone
it.
Someone who needed it.
Yeah.
Someone who needed a nice rug.
Yeah. Someone who needed it.
Because that would mean, like...
What do you do with a bear? Do you eat it? I mean, I know you can eat bear, technically, but...
You're probably not supposed to. I mean, honestly...
You're not really supposed to eat carnivores in general.
I'm not going to listen to what the government tells me to do.
Based on the way that this was handled, I have a feeling that the solution to pretty much any...
I think they tied the bear to a rocket ship and sent it into space.
Right, well, they... Once it was there, they shot it
right.
a few times.
So it was in space.
Right.
I just remember that video of that bear. That bear in a tree where they shot it with a trank gun and they put a trampoline next to it.
Yeah.
You guys ever see that?
Yeah, no. I did. That did not go well.
Didn't go great, but the bear was fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
There was a bear in a tree somewhere, like Michigan or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, the bear's in the tree. We're going to trank the shit out of it. And someone went, hey, if you trank the shit out of the bear, it'll probably fall in the tree and die.
Right.
Duly noted.
So some person with an ounce of common sense.
They put a trampoline next to the tree. They trank the bear falls, hits the trampoline, and they're like, oh, we didn't think this through very well. So the bear hits the trampoline, it's heavy as shit, and flies back up in the air. And then it falls off the side of the trampoline. And the bear wakes up, and it's like, oh, that's no fucking good. And just walks away, and then they got it and released it.
Jesus. Well, it was a bear.
Yeah, but they're like, oh, shit.
Trampolines, you go back up.
Right. Opposite reaction.
Now, like, well, what could catch the bear? We don't have 500 pillows, so...
I'll be honest, them shooting a turkey after that attacked five people isn't that crazy to me. What's way crazier to me...
Because they're just like, fuck, we're done with it.
Well, they got the go-ahead, and they're like, you know, they're going to take the path of least resistance.
Hell yeah, they're not going to try and rebuild the turkey.
But that's not as nearly as crazy to me as the fact that they apparently tased this thing...
Three times
before.
That's crazy.
And then left. Yeah. Like, situations handled.
Right, that's what leads me to wonder about the animal control thing.
Right.
Also, like, when they euthanize, I don't know, you know, how much we all know about this, but, like, when you take a dog or a cat or a pet to be euthanized at a shelter...
Hedgehog.
They don't shoot it with a gun.
Right.
There are other more humane ways to make these things happen.
They also
happen.
Don't tase it three times before they kill it.
That's why... Well, over the course of, like,
that's
several
cruel
weeks,
and
I assume.
Unusual.
It's fucked up. I mean, it's weird they treated it like a human criminal.
Right.
They did. Well, actually, like a shitty human criminal, because they don't even want to tase real people because people sue over that shit.
Yeah, they just shoot them.
Well, in Vinsalem they don't.
Well, not yet, yeah.
Yeah, not yet, but maybe this turkey was just a practice run.
I don't know, dude.
They probably just... I'm shocked they even called the game commissioner. Like, the game commissioner's office. I'm sure they didn't shoot it the first time. They're like, turkey, bam!
Yeah, I mean, I guess at least they, yeah.
They gave it a shot to rehabilitate.
We've tased it, like, three times. It's not getting it. What the fuck do we do?
I'm sure...
The flowchart of ideas.
I'm sure the game officer, when he said euthanize it if you can do it safely, didn't mean tase it and shoot it.
Right.
I'm sure he meant, like, crank it.
Maybe
and then,
felt,
like, bring it someplace where they can euthanize it.
It's possible
safely.
The game commissioner is like, you did what to it? Three times? Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't...
Take it out whenever you can, because, dear God, I don't want it to be tased anymore.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. That's just insane.
You guys have a crazy track record of tasing animals.
I mean, I'm sure being electric shocked multiple times didn't help turkey's disposition.
Yeah. Well, as
honestly, it's the electric people. I got taken out before.
I don't
get me.
It's like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
To tie back.
He's like, he knows his stars are getting up.
Yeah.
He's going crazy.
Oh, it just makes you wonder if there wasn't possibly some better way that this could have, like, they could have probably relocated this animal.
They're not responding to comment.
Right.
It obviously wasn't handled well.
Yeah. That's upsetting.
Imagine if the Vinsalem police did something actually, like, scandalous. They'd be like,
Well, tell you what, the Testy Tom story would not help their case.
No, I don't think so.
Hopefully they've gotten a little bit more professional since then, and a little bit more conscious to the needs of any sort of...
Turkeys?
I don't know what to make of this.
I mean, unfortunately, that's how most of these stories end.
Right.
Is the animal gets shot.
Right.
It's not where it's supposed to be. They don't have a turkey farm. At least someone ate it.
Even I guess.
If it's just one shithead.
I guess.
Because he had a big family, apparently.
Well, the other thing is just that, like, is that what the game commission does? They just, like, drive corpses around?
For food delivery?
Yeah.
I know a guy. It's all right. That's really
suspect. Like Meals on Wheels.
It seems really weird.
That's some weird, like, redneck good old boy thing, I think.
Yeah, I don't like any part of the story at all.
Imagine.
Sucks for Jennifer Jackson.
Yeah, and she tore her shoulder. That's crazy to me that she tore her shoulder. That's nuts. I mean, I've seen crazier things, I guess.
Wow. I've never seen a turkey.
I've seen a turkey in real life.
I've seen turkey.
Don't doubt my life experience.
I'm pretty sure I've
seen
real
turkeys. In real life.
Yeah.
I think so.
I could easily...
I've seen, like petting zoos and stuff, I'm sure.
I could easily best a turkey in hand-to-hand combat.
Real wild turkey.
I won't make that claim.
Real wild turkeys are the size of an elephant.
Mechanicals.
Yeah. That's why you have to... The Testy Tom and the mechanicals.
I can see why they tased it now.
Yeah. It didn't do anything. So you had to go for the critical
hit. The
fact
that they tased it three times, they just didn't die. People have died from being tased.
Yeah.
The turkey just shrugged it off.
Yeah, I mean,
at
most, that bird was like 40 pounds. If it's like a big turkey.
It's like tasing a toddler.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, I'm going to go fuck with people tomorrow. That's for damn sure.
Is this like a story of a turkey's like path to self-destruction?
He's a suicide by cop.
Like police-assisted suicide.
Suicide
by cop. For a turkey.
I don't know. He tases, dude.
He obviously had nothing to live for.
You could probably rob a place and not get tased.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably get shot.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Depends on how the robbery is, armed or none.
It seems like...
You can do a lot of shit without getting tased, dude.
There was a guy just... he wasn't shot by cops, though. There was a guy just recently in Vinsalem who was shot after robbing someone's house. You know, the guy that was, like, masturbating.
Oh, we didn't even get... We're
jumped out
get
of a window.
Oh,
I had that...
Oh, we'll get
I
that
had
next
that
time.
Story.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot about it.
I don't know all the facts on that.
The old masturbating dog napper jockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that...
Oh, that'll be
That'll be a teaser for tomorrow. Okay. Or not tomorrow's. Next
tomorrow's.
Week. Yeah.
You guys are going to get this today, and we'll get that tomorrow. We're going to go daily.
Yeah. The masturbating dog kidnapping jockey.
What is the jockey part? I didn't hear the jockey thing.
We'll get into it.
He's
a jockey.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
A small man.
Yeah. All right.
A turkey-sized man.
Well, we're going to pour one out for testing.
Apparently, we don't know how big turkeys are. So
if you got a drink in your hand.
Oh, they're the size of a bus when they get angry.
The Incredible Hulk.
They got the rage scale.
Well, they're like completely round, so they just hold their breath and inflate.
Right, like Kirby.
Yeah.
Ah.
Or DDD.
The old pufferky.
All right.
All right, let's pour one out for testing.
All right. God bless.
See you later.